It's long days, it's going to get longer. Been a tiresome day, and busy day, a good day. Lord's provided Kimberly with a good job in this community, and today was her first day. And I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful for the Lord that gave it to her. And I'm thankful for the Lord that gave her to me. She's His, and I'm grateful for that. And she's going to start back to school Monday. She started teaching school today. She's going to start back on her master's Monday. So it's going to be busy around the Thacker household. We're down a vehicle and one thing after another, isn't it? I'm thankful. If you will, let's turn to John chapter 10. That's our job, just like Rachel. I don't want to preach that before we get there. Another few weeks we'll be in Genesis 29. The bride of Christ brings the sheep to our husband. And he waters. And he kisses. And he rejoices. And that's some thought, isn't it? I pray we can be brought as under shepherds. I pray I can bring you to him today. Paul spoke of that. I have no idea what that means, but I love it. He said he was going to present those he preached to as a chaste virgin. That sounds good to be a pastor. Oh, everybody wants to be a pastor, don't they? Until you start finding out what that means. That's a great joy to be able to present you as a chaste virgin to our Lord that called you and saved you. But if I don't tell you the truth, if I hold back from you because of my precious little feelings, if I'm selfish, or because of your precious little feelings, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to step on your toes. I'm a twofold child of hell. I'll be right with you next to you in hell and more so. It's a strong charge, isn't it? I'll send you a message out from Brother Don on this text we're going to look at tonight. I'd rather get beat with a garden hose than to preach this. And I've been miserable for days. I did not want to do this. I have to. That's what we come to. And by God's providence, the things that's come to pass in my life this week, I can't bear it. I can't get up and preach it. And I thought, how am I going to do this? And then we sang, Jesus is the name that charms us. He, for conflict, fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in Him. To tell you what he says, I ought to have no fear. That hurts my feelings, Kevin. Well, you're going to see what God says, not what I think or what I say. I'm going to read this to you. Message I'll send you, Don's. He goes more into the crooked stick. I want to hope I can lay down a straight stick. But he starts with this quote from George Whitefield. I'd like to read it to you. George Whitefield wrote an article, an extended letter, The Method of Grace. And he began saying, God can send a nation or a people no greater blessing than to give them faithful, sincere, and upright ministers. That's the greatest thing he can do for them. He goes on and says, so the greatest curse that God can possibly send upon a people in this world is to give them over to blind, carnal, lukewarm, and unskilled ministers. Don can go into the shepherds and the hirelings for you. I'll email it to you. But I don't want to concentrate on those differences tonight. I don't want to concentrate on what a crooked stick looks like. I want to lay down a straight one. You have much more experience than I do dealing with hirelings. You've dealt with hirelings your whole life. You don't need to hear about them anymore. I just want to lay down a straight one. And that straight stick might be short. And every time I say that, it's a real long stick. That's okay. You can go back and listen to it. It'll be good for you. The tried shepherd. That's what I want to get at. I want to touch on some things need touch on. And then I want to look at the shepherd that has already been tried. There's no question if he's a hireling. He's proven. And what a test he had. John chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. They'd ask, how has this man received his sight? How does he go from the sheepfold of this earth to seeing you? Back in this sheepfold. How did this happen? And what did he go through? And the Lord said, I'm the door. That's simple, isn't it? I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep, not everybody, not the goats, not the grasshoppers, not everybody else. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not. Who's that? Everyone that doesn't preach Christ. Everyone that comes saying they can save you by some other means than Christ the door. All of them. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Kevin, I love those people. They was real kind. God says they came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But they was real friendly. They said some real nice things. They told a lot of truth. Christ said, the God of everything, our God who is God, said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. They're real good people. Take it up, God. They lied on him. They lied to you. They're lying on him. They're lying against his word. And they're a thief. And they came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if God's pleased to lead you under that delusion, which is a strong delusion, you're going to die. And you're going to be tore all to pieces and you're going to be pillaged. That's what they came to do. He said, I am come. That's what they came to do. I am come that they might have life. Everything else is death. And that they might have it more abundantly. The hireling fleeth. What's that mean? They ain't there no more. They was there. Trouble came. Now they ain't there no more. They was there and something better came along. And now they ain't there no more. Is that complicated? The hireling fleeth. They don't stick around. That's simple, isn't it? The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Why does he run away? He doesn't care for the sheep. Why does the Lord come? He says in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am know of mine. He lays down his life for the sheep. The hireling doesn't care for the sheep. They're in it for themselves. Christ came to die for his sheep to give them life. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine as the Father knoweth me. Even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He knows his sheep the same way the Father knows him. He loves the sheep the same way the Father loves him. The Father loves the sheep the same as he loves his eldest born, his firstborn son. Oh, what majestic things that is. Get your Kleenexes out for tonight. This is going to be, if God will speak to you, I was crying my eyes out talking this. This is precious. What's the point our Lord is making to these people? He's the good shepherd. Does that mean he's okay? First of all, it's the definite article, the. Not a good shepherd, not a pretty good shepherd, not one of the good shepherds. He said, I'm the good shepherd. How good is he? There's none good but God. This is God the shepherd. The Lord our shepherd. Turn over to Isaiah 40. We're going to turn a lot. I got mostly scripture, but we'll read it together and I'll make some comments throughout. Isaiah 40. He's the good shepherd. And there's none good but God. And so our great shepherd's deity is on display. The chief shepherd's deity is on display. And what a good shepherd. Does that mean he's God? It does. Does that also mean he's a real good shepherd? Yeah, it does. We're simple folk. He said, I'm the door. That's plain. I can understand that. He's a good shepherd. We're sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 1. You know these words. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Quit working. War's done. It's finished. That her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. The voice said, cry. What shall I cry? What am I going to cry to you? What do I have for you again today? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Man's nothing. Hear what God has to say. Thus saith the Lord. Here's what he says. We're going to see it. O Zion, O elect of God, O his church throughout time, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. What's a twofold message? All flesh is grass, behold your God. Behold the Lord God, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, that mighty arm that's tender to his lambs, and carry them in his bosom, just nuzzle it up. That ain't the King's English. Do you understand that? We have a kitten at the house. And you grab that kitten up, you don't hold it out there like this. If it's fighting, you do. You snuggle them up like a baby. Snuggle it up. He's going to take those sheep, tuck them up close to his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Gently lead them. That's a good shepherd, isn't it? Is that one with a staff? I'm going to make them sheep mind. Oh, That's my thought sometimes. That's my wicked heart sometimes, not his. He's the good shepherd. He is motivated by love for his sheep. That's why he lays down his life. He cares for the sheep. The hireling don't. The hireling don't care for the sheep. That's why they leave. This one ain't a hireling. In our text, it says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, they ain't your sheep. You didn't die for them sheep. You don't love them sheep. He sees the wolf coming. But he troubles on the horizon. And he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Trouble's brewing. Hard times. On a fly. The wolf's coming and he flees and he leaves the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. You ever seen that happen? Has sheep ever been scattered? When there's a hireling around, that's what happens. You hear me? This ain't complicated. This ain't brain science, and it ain't rocket surgery. This good shepherd, oh, he gathers the sheep. He brings them together. A hireling will scatter them. Now, I want to give you some examples before I show you how the shepherd's tried. I've told you before, these things are systemic. That means it's the same throughout. Like the synoptic gospel, synoptic systemic. It's the same throughout. It's the same in home. God's put me as the shepherd of my home. He's given me talents I'm in charge of. They're his. My wife's his. That's his daughter. My children, they're his children. He gave them to me. Lord gave, Lord take away. I'm in charge, though. He's put me in. And I love them. I care for them and I don't do it the way I ought to. And then here, I was faithful with those. He made me faithful. I have you. And I'm not here to just coach you up and bring you a pretty little message every now and then. I'm here to watch for your souls as one have to give an account. If you could do it yourself, you don't need a shepherd. You ain't a sheep then, are you? Sheep have no defenses. I'm a sheep, same thing, but I got a different job to do. That's what happened. Why is that? Same picture at the house. I'm to provide for, I'm to feed, I'm to protect. Why? Because in a local assembly, I'm to provide for you. I'm to feed you. I'm to bring you the truth of Christ and tell you all flesh is grass and behold your God day in and day out. Every time. We're going to be in different texts. That's going to be the message. Salvation's of the Lord, not of man. Bow to Him and be happy because He saved some sheep. Rejoice. That's a good thing. Why? That's a picture of our Lord who provided for us, who feeds us, and He's able to do both. And He protects us. Because we can't be protected. He has to. That's to show us these things. That in my home, I fail. Here, I fail. I have a flesh. He never fails. I'll go quick. Ephesians 5. What's the home look like? Ephesians chapter 5. Paul begins at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So, after that manner, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, you get the spiritual application of this? Nevertheless, just because you got the spiritual application, now you can have the practical. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I'm motivated by love for those I've been put in charge of. But what a failure I am. I don't love as Christ loved the church. I've been tempted in so many ways, and not as people would think. I have a beautiful wife. She's funny and smart and hardworking. Not in those ways, but in my own lazy self. Well, maybe I can sleep in a little bit. Maybe I don't have to work that hard to provide for my wife what she needs. Now, I'll get up and answer that door at 2 a.m. Somebody comes through the window, I'll deal with it. But and then my children, making them mind. God's word's plain. This ain't hard. Have I done what he said? Well, some. Horseshoes and hand grenades, right? Close? I did close. What a f***er I've been. Where does that leave me? For me to be a faithful father, for me to be a faithful husband, I have to cry out to my good shepherd that he keep me and guide me and protect me and preserve me. I have to. I have to. I can't do it by myself. I see myself, I see my flesh, and I must have him. What about the local assembly? Hebrews 13, we read, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It ain't going to do you no good to fight them. They're not hirelings. The Lord that sends his men, and it's not glamorous. The idea might be appealing, the reality is not. But he equips them and he sends them, and they are profitable. They may not be personable. Y'all read that book I gave you? God's prophets may not be personable, but they're profitable to his people. They're profitable to his people. They're not hirelings, but they must be taken care of. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There's a strong misunderstanding throughout this nation, especially on this coast, which is my stomping ground, so I'll address it. I ought not be afraid to. God says so. A hireling does not mean someone that gets paid. Now, they're there for a hire. John Calvin spoke greatly of this. They're there for the wage, for the money, or the glory, or the whatever. But they're there to fulfill their own lusts, to steal glory, to kill, to destroy, the Lord said. They might not be a big shot, but they're a shot. They may have it for a title. Like, well, I'm a pastor. How many people do you have? Well, I have thousands, or I have two. I had a man introduce himself to me one time. He said, I'm Pastor Bob or something. And I said, oh, well, I'm HVAC Kevin. Oh, they ain't interested now? He didn't think that was funny either. They might not be a big shot, but they're a shot. Those hirelings, they can be bought and they can be influenced. Many times they are influenced by sheep. Sheep can push them around. Sheep can instruct them and train them up and square them away and be a good input for them. Goats can too. Circumstances can. Like when the wolf comes. Or hard times, or inconvenient things, or passages. Well, that might hurt so-and-so's feelings. We'll just skip over that. That's what a hireling does. Or most times I've seen, I know you all have seen different things, stepping stones. Well, I'll start out here, but I've done all I can do here. I've preached as many messages as I can. But now the next place, oh, they need me. That's a little bit bigger. And the next one's a little bit bigger. And the next one's got a car with it. And the next one's got an internet program and a book writing thing. We'll make sure you set up and plenty of time to write your books. Boy, we want a published pastor. It's stepping stones. How would you like it if your sons married or your daughters married men that used your daughters as stepping stones? Would you like that? Well, now that ain't fair, Kevin. What do you think there's a difference in the Lord's church? That's what a hireling does. They come to steal and to kill and to destroy. You, 1 Corinthians 9. Look here in verse 1. Paul writes, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. There's discredit in Paul. Paul went and gave himself to these people. And said, well, I don't know if he's an apostle or not. He said, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? They said, Paul's a sham. He's a charlatan. He's just down here to take advantage of us and get our money. Here at this richest town there was, Corinth. And so he's here to take advantage of us. How is he dealing with the church's money? Paul said, have we not power to eat and drink? Ain't that right for us to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Yesterday I took Angus Fisher to lunch. Is that okay? That's what Paul's saying. Can I take care of this? I have all the expenses you have, and then some. That's what he's talking about. Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Can't we tend to what the Lord's put in our hand? And he gives a very plain example. I've been in the military. I went over to Iraq twice. And I didn't go buy my own boots and go buy my own bullets and buy my own gun. Bob, when you went to Vietnam, did you have to, they gave you a ship, but you had to provide diesel to get over there. Did that happen? No, it didn't happen. That's crazy. Look what the example Paul gives here in verse 7. Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? We'll go fight in Ukraine. But I got to buy me a tank first. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Am I just telling you this for my benefit? Try to put this in perspective for you. Is that what this apostle's doing? He said, or saith not the law the same thing also? This is the same from the Lord who changes not. For it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. You got an ox out there treading your corn. Don't you muzzle his mouth. You ain't going to run out of corn. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. If he's out there on a big grinding wheel making cornmeal, don't you muzzle his mouth. Don't you say, well, now you grind for me, but then you got to go grind for yourself, get your own corn. No, that's not what he says. That's what the law says. Don't. Moses told him that. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Paul's asking, is God the founder of PETA? Is he telling us this so all them oxen are taken care of? Of course not. Verse 10, or saith he altogether for our sakes? Is he saying that for us? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. He goes on to say, you that live, live the gospel. Those, not a hireling, not one here to take advantage, but those faithful under-shepherds God sends ought to live off the gospel. And he says, you live off the gospel. He doesn't say you live off the gospel in your side gig. You live off the gospel in your working wife. You live off the gospel in your rich uncle or your dead mother. He said, you live off the gospel. Is that what it says? I got it out. Took a wind out of me. Not a hireling. A hireling's after a wage, personal benefit. And they flee, those that flee whenever the wolf come, because they careth not for the sheep. You are not my sheep. You understand that? I'm an under-shepherd, but I did not shed my blood for you. It feels like sometimes, but I didn't lay down my life for you. Christ atoned for your sins. I didn't. But you're my Father's sheep, and I look out for you. David, remember that? We looked at that recently in Psalm 23 when we looked at the Lord our shepherd. David went and fought the bear and the lion. He took the law and our great accuser by the beards, and he slew both of them, didn't he? Was that his sheep? That was Jesse's sheep. Well, why did he do that? He risked his life for them people. He gave all of himself for those sheep. Why? They were his father's sheep. His father's honor depended on it. His father's glory depended on it. And so what's fighting a bear? Paul said that in Ephesus, didn't he? He said, I fought wild beasts. He wasn't in a Colosseum like them gladiators, was he? He fought them false prophets across the street. You're my siblings. I'm a sheep just like you are. And you're property of my father. And I'll do what I can for his sheep. Whenever trouble arose there for David, he fought because he loved those sheep. He did not run by the grace of God when trouble arose. What was his motivation? Love was. Love was. Why did Paul go make tents? To be a good example. And personally, on a personal level, that backfired in him. He didn't record it, did he? To be a good example because he loved the sheep at Corinth. He loved them. He loved them. He was motivated by love. Acts 20 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's a charge to under shepherds. Feed the church of God. Feed them. Defend them the best you can. What God's put in your hand to do. Paul told the elders that. He wrote to those pastors. He said, I'm a pastor too. He said, I've also seen Christ. Been partaker of his glory. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. They ain't going to give you oversight. You've got to take it. They ain't going to just hand it over. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you have to, but willingly, for love's sake. Not for filthy lucre, not for money. That's just the SDG&E bill. Who cares about that? But of a ready mind, because these are God's sheep. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's what we're waiting on. That's why I got up early this morning. That's why I'll stay up late tonight. That's why I'll get up early Sunday morning. Because we're just waiting on that chief shepherd to appear. This good shepherd that gave his life for us. That great shepherd, the greatest of them all. And it's the chief shepherd. When he shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You're going to have Christ. I'm going to have Christ. It's going to be the same. And we're going to keep spreading his gospel, feeding the flock, telling everybody we can, all flesh is grass, behold your God, until he comes. That's what's put in our hand to do. What's anything else? So what? Okay. I got a long way to drive. So what? I'm busy. No, you ain't. How have I done at being under shepherd? I must cry out to my good shepherd. That's the charge, that's the test of a pastor. You gonna keep preaching the gospel? I know a bunch of people used to. You gonna keep preaching the gospel? My only hope is to cry out to the good shepherd, Lord, keep me. Lord, you feed me, keep me. Keep me faithful. Our good shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, he's been tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Anything at my home I may be tempted with and I've caught on it, he's been tempted with and he did it without sin. Anything I have to be tempted with in preaching the gospel and serving his people, anything I've been tempted with, he's been tempted with greater, yet without sin. I want to show you three things he was tempted with. Matthew chapter 4. Will you turn there with me? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 1 reads, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Knowing what he was walking into, with the joy set before him. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He didn't just fast during the day like a weak, self-righteous little man does. He fasted day and night for 40 days. That'd kill me. That'd kill you. And he was a man. This is Almighty God in human flesh willingly going to be tempted of the devil for his people. And he hungered because you get hungry. He's made like us. He hungered because I get hungry. And when the tempter came to him, Satan looked at him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Our Lord, man, the God-man, was tempted in food. Just said he's hungry. He had ate 40 days or 40 nights. And Satan came to him. And he said what you and I would call a necessity. How long have you been without bread? How long have you been without a meal? He went 40 days and 40 nights and Satan came and said, you got to eat. You the Son of God? Are you who you say you are? Prove it. Turn these stones into bread. Don't you want to eat them? Ain't you hungry? But he answered and said, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, I don't need physical bread. I need the word of my Father in heaven. That's where all life comes from. He's able to sustain all he is pleased to sustain according to his will, not man's logic, not according to biology. What would I do if I hadn't ate for 40 days? What a temptation. I need to eat. I get hungry sometimes. I know I can enter into a little bit of this, can't you? Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up to a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands he shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jump off of here. Prove who you are, and prove God's word. Tempted in pride of position. Your pastor, prove it. You're a good shepherd. You know God's scriptures. Prove it. Tested in providence. Well, if you're God's man, there ain't no way in the world he's going to kill you. If I'm God's man, I ought not fear to do these things. I ought not be afraid to do this. For show it. Prove you ain't scared. But so, if you're scared, say you're scared. It's in our modern time, isn't it? He's not like me. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Verse 7 says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was not tempted in recognition, nor proven that the Father does what he wants. Prove to me there's a God. What? Well, prove to me that it's creation, not the Big Bang theory. Prove to me God created this world. No! God said, let there be light. I don't need to say anything else. The Lord created the heavens and the earth. What more proof do you need? I don't need to say anything else. That I can enter into. He said, I need not testify that any man, or I need not that any man should testify of me, because he knows what's in man. Oh, so-and-so says I'm preaching the gospel. Whoop-dee-doo. I don't care. God says his words. I'll just tell you what he says. If that wasn't bad enough, I thought, boy, to be tempted with food in 40 days, to be tempted with position and proving God's word. I want to prove God's word. Somebody quotes the scriptures wrong, boy, it runs through me. That's me being tempted. Well, I got to correct them. That's me being tempted. You see that? Be tempted with pride. If that wasn't enough, again, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The shepherd, not a shepherd, the shepherd was tempted in possessions. Now this is laughable in a way. It's all his anyway, right? What if somebody was to tempt me with something? Oh, Kevin, we'll pay for everything you need. With whose money? It's God's money anyway. Render unto Caesar what Caesar's. I don't care about that. Lord, send ravens. They said they wanted doves. They said, I'll give you doves till it comes out your nose. And I wake up every day and I see a big covey of doves run across my driveway. And I said, Lord, thank you for the food I got in the refrigerator. I appreciate it. I know you'll feed me. I don't want to eat them doves. Here he is, God in human flesh, but we forget that he was made like as we are. He humbled himself, was low, was hungry. 40 days into this fast, he was offered food, was offered position, and he was offered glory. If you don't make these stones and bread, at least do that, you're going to die. That's man's logic, isn't it? This isn't religion anymore. This is just common sense. You need to eat. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. What if this kills you? I came to give my life for the sheep. He's firm to the end. Set his face like a flint. You could strike a match. I think old Clint Eastwood movie. You could strike a match on it. He's set. That's what he was here to do. Jesus saith unto him, verse 10, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. As a man, our good shepherd, as his sheep's substitute, he worshiped God as God ought to be worshiped. But after the fall, no man's ever done that. It ain't happened. He did. Why? On my behalf. Why was he tempted with all these things and proven to serve the Lord and proven to worship God? I have to. I have to. That's what he did. He came and laid down his life for the sheep. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The father said, well done, my good and faithful servant, and sent his angels to him. That's a good shepherd, isn't it? That's a God-given shepherd. That's not one after his own heart. That is the heart. That's the heart of God right there. His motivation was love of the Father and love of those sheep given to him. love of those sheep purchased by His blood, and love of those sheep He preserves by His ever intercession. Do you love that shepherd? Or do you like another one? I like that. I love that one. That's one I need. And I wouldn't have it any other way. That one that laid down His life for the sheep. And back in our text, John 10, I'll wrap it up. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them, the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. What's that mean? He knows them. He loves them. And he knows them completely. Someday we'll know him as we are known. He calls them by name. This is personal. This is one-on-one. And it's life and death. This is our kinsman redeemer, our shepherd, our elder brother, however you want to cut it. It's a person. And he says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. I know him. I don't know much of him. I want to know more of him. But I love him, and I understand him, and I know something of him, and he's mine, and I'm his. I know that much. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able. How known are we? Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's a good shepherd, isn't it? That's a good shepherd. That's a shepherd we need to call to. That's a shepherd that I need to shepherd me. That's what Paul said. Was Paul just some outstanding theologian that was just so squared away? He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. How about that? I'm going to go where he goes. I know him because he knowed me first. He loved me first. And I'm going to go where he is. You know what distinguishes? I say that. He brings this sheep. They follow him, don't they? I hounded that as hard as I could. How can you tell the difference between this Joe Blow and a shepherd? Shepherd's got a bunch of sheep around him. That's number one characteristic. Which one do you think's a shepherd? Probably the guy with all the sheep around him. I'd say he's kept them alive and they follow him. I want to know that good shepherd. I don't care about them hirelings. I don't care. Mark them, leave them alone. Avoid them. I want to hear somebody's going to tell me about that one. That's who I want to see. Amen. All right, Brother Mike.